Need your daily fix on mixed martial arts?
We're going to kind of recap Bellator 155.
From UFC 198.
Who's who?
Kind of a controversial decision.
And who's not?
I couldn't figure out why, and then it hit me.
Well, don't you fret, because Golden State Media Concepts got you covered. Get your daily dose of MMA podcast. Everything from the UFC, Bellator Fighting Championships, Extreme Cage Fighting, Invicta Fighting Championships, and so much more. Join us as we talk about some of the biggest names in mixed martial arts. We've got you covered here on Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast.
Back here, we just finished wrapping up talking about Holly Holm and Chris Cyborg and how Will and I do not agree on the outcome, in which we're going to have some type of bet because I am taking Holly Holm, Will is taking Chris Cyborg. And if anyone that's listening to the show, I'm a big Cyborg fan. I just think this is a great matchup, but Will's going with the sure thing. And so I respect that. So, Will, You have been the one who's been controlling what we're going to talk about. What are we going to talk about for our last segment here?
All right, let's talk about something that you kind of alluded to before, kind of the UFC 219 event in terms of what led to the UFC trying to find another champion on this card. And let's go with the whole Conor McGregor situation and what happened in the past few weeks.
All right. Clarify a little bit, or I'll let you go first.
Well, it was actually related to Bellator. Have you seen?
I've definitely seen that whole situation. Yes.
What are your thoughts on it?
Okay. Here's my thing. I am going to defend Conor McGregor on this one, because I watched this event, and I seriously thought the referee had stopped the fight. Turned out the referee hadn't stopped the fight at all, and that the fight was still going on when Conor McGregor jumped into the ring. But when I watched it, I had no clue that the referee had not stopped the fight, and that Conor had jumped in the ring. And so Conor was thinking, in my opinion, Conor was thinking that the fight was over and he was celebrating and the referee is trying to get him out of the ring. And it turned into a really bad situation. I think Conor McGregor's apology was kind of lame. It's one of those things where, you know, the punishment that Conor McGregor has gotten, which is that he was going to be fighting that he's not going to be allowed to fight on the last card of the year. Well, Conor was never going to fight on that card in the first place. So, you know, that's kind of my take. What did you think when you saw this?
Well, I was paying attention to everything, and kind of just to set the environment of what was happening during the event, was the crowd was loud. They were fighting and they were cheering for Charlie Ward.
Yes.
Was fighting, and that is Conor's training partner and one of his good friends
and bodyguard.
They were in a very pro Charlie Ward environment, and another thing to have to say is Mark Goddard is one of the best referees in the game. He is pretty on point with most of his calls in terms of stopping the fight, warning fighters, and just generally looking after fighter safety. And I've been paying attention to what he's been releasing on social media and kind of his explanation of the event. So what he said is that as he was refereeing the event, obviously Charlie Ward was putting on some punishment against his opponent, And Mark Goddard couldn't hear the bell ring, so he kind of jumped the gun and thought that the bell had rung when he beat it by a few seconds or a second or so. And he didn't really have an intention of stopping the fight at that moment, even though it was really close to that. He was more stopping it for the round ending. And maybe they need to have some type of notification where it's more than a bell or something, so that when it gets to those crazy environments, the referees can hear everything and they're not swayed by anything that the crowd does. But that's another conversation. So he looks to stop it in terms of ending the round so that there's no more punches thrown. Turns out he stopped it too early. Connor and everyone thinks that the fight is stopped, so they jump in the cage and kind of mayhem ensues. And then as Mark Goddard is trying to usher everyone out of the cage, since he's under the impression that the fight is still going, that's when Connor takes offense, and there's insults thrown, pushes thrown around, and kind of the mayhem breaks loose. And
slap of
an
official.
I can't really see. Yeah, they're slapping an official. I can see both sides of this argument, and really the only way that I could have seen something like this prevented would be if Mark Goddard had been signaled that the round ended, because it's just hard to operate in that high pressure environment, and it's hard being a referee. I mean, I've thought about being a referee sometimes, but and it's a pressure situation there, because these fighters' livelihood are decided by your actions to a lot of degrees. Whether you take away points, whether you call fights off a little bit too early or too late, they're dealing with their own pressure situation there too. So I can't really blame Connor for defending kind of his actions and doing that. I thought the apology was a little bit lame myself, but I think that it could have been handled better by the commission and kind of the event planners there. But other than that, I didn't see him making such a quick turnaround either. Especially considering that Ferguson probably wouldn't have been ready or willing to do that. But
all right, okay. I was going to give you. Do you want to hear what I think should be done?
Sure.
I'm just taking what the referee said, and I agree with, and I understand, and agree with that. That's kind of, you know, referee, that was his decision. But when you look at his decision and what happened, the official decision is winner by TKO Charlie Ward. That's crap. The referee clearly states that the round was not over and someone jumped in the ring. That was Conor McGregor. If he wasn't going to wave the fight off, he thought the round had ended, then even if he stopped it early or not, Conor McGregor came in the ring, the proper judgment would be a disqualification by Charlie Ward, and John Redman should be the winner by disqualification, not Charlie Ward winner by TKO. Because the referee has stated automatically that he was not stopping the fight. He stopped it because he thought the bell had sounded, and so he stopped it early. So Conor McGregor comes in the ring. How is John Redman not awarded the victory by disqualification? Do you understand where I'm coming from on that one?
I get where you're coming from. It's just difficult to go in that situation because we kind of see the end was coming for Redman.
Yes,
but that doesn't justify Connor's actions.
But
so,
if someone jumped in
a
ring,
tough situation.
If someone jumped in a ring on Charlie Ward's behalf, you don't reward because you don't say, okay, the fight's over and Charlie Ward is the winner by TKO. If the referee was never going to stop it, it would be the fight has been. Someone's come in the ring, it's a disqualification, right?
I mean, yeah, I think that's in the rule books.
But if you look at the official decision, and the referee has clearly said he was not going to stop the fight, But if I'm looking on the Bellator website right now, Charlie Ward wins by TKO. How can that be a TKO if the referee has made a statement that he was never going to stop the fight and he stopped it for being between because he thought the round was over, not because the fighter couldn't continue. So how does Charlie Ward get the decision? What do you
well, the thing is,
you weren't expecting this one.
It's also kind of the kind of taking the events as a whole interpretation as well, because what Goddard said was when he was about to stop, when he was getting everyone out of the cage and trying to regain order in the cage, he talked to the doctor who was examining Redmond, and the doctor said that he was not fit to continue. And that, I take that more with more weight and more grain to the fight decision. Like if Redmond was not able to continue and he was not fit to continue because of the beating that he just suffered, then I would have to say it's a doctor stoppage more so than a disqualification.
But which one came first? If you go back and watch the tape, Conor McGregor jumps in there immediately. And then they have to handle Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor wants to kind of look like he wants to fight the referee. He's in the referee's face. Conor McGregor trips over the fighter. And then the doctor comes in and looks at Redmond and then says he's not able to continue. But the Conor McGregor stuff clearly happened before that.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Well, I'd take the beating that Charlie Ward put on Redmond before anything, and I think that was more.
Now it was a thorough beating.
A factor in the stoppage.
It was definitely. No. I agree with you that it was a thorough beating, and that's why I thought the fight was stopped. I thought the fight was stopped because of that. But if you look at take the referee by his words, he stopped the fight early. The fight was continuing. Someone jumped in the ring. That's why I say that John Redmond should the decision should be reversed. And it should be a stoppage by disqualification, or there should be a no contest in there. There needs to be, I think, something needs to be done on this one. I don't, or do you think I'm way off base? And it's okay if you do.
I think punishments should be doled out.
But you can't punish Connor.
Well, maybe you punish Ward a little bit, but since he is his. He is part of his entourage and part, not even part of his corner, but part of his entourage. But I don't feel that takes away from the result of the fight. I think Charlie won that fight.
And Charlie was definitely a better man. I would agree with you on that one.
Yeah, so it's hard for me to, like, if Charlie was getting beaten and he landed one, like, it was not even close to getting stops, but then this mayhem ensued and it was ruled a TKO for him. Then I would have to say that's not right. But we kind of knew the result was coming. I've seen stoppages that were earlier than what Redmond went through. So I give him the benefit of the doubt. I give him the win. But It's tough. Maybe what needs to happen is that rules need to be changed and adjustments need to be made for referee, fighter, doctor safety, all these different things.
Now, let me ask you another question with this. Should there be some type of rule that's universal across the board with all organizations that, because let's say at this fight coming up here, with Gastelum and Michael Bisping, this fight is going on, and King Mo just jumps in the middle of the ring and just starts wailing on Michael Bisping and disrupts the fight. There's no way to really punish a guy for doing that, or it could be any Bellator fighter or some Alaskan fighting championship guy jumps in the ring. There's no governing body that can actually suspend a guy for going into another event other than just having him arrested for trespassing. Am I right?
Well, you can arrest him and then ban him from any future events, and that could be a punishment that makes them not want to do that ever again.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, with this whole situation, I was just looking at that. I was kind of like surprised that there's really nothing. There's no real consequences. You know, it's the benefit. Bellator was never going. You know, Bellator is happy about this because you took a card that was very, very lackluster, and it's going to be one of their biggest cards of the year as far as it's on tape delay and everything, and it got almost 1 million views because everyone heard about Conor McGregor jumping in the ring and the melee that happened. It became one of their biggest events of the year, so they weren't upset. But I'm just saying, there needs to be something in place to make sure that stuff like this doesn't happen between organizations.
Yeah, but then there's also the factor that, you know how some wrestling promotions are too, where this guy from another organization comes in and he starts his whole rivalry or even like a potential fight, you know? And I don't think that like Bellator is, they don't mind too much about this whole incident because it's...
Oh no, they benefited from this one.
So like whatever creates that controversy, to me it's fine because I've seen something. We watched. Were you ever watching that Nick Diaz versus KJ Nunes event at all?
No, I don't.
No. It was Dan. It was. It is actually Dan Henderson versus Jake Shields in Strikeforce.
Okay, I was never a big Strikeforce guy, so that's why I don't know this one.
So Dan Henderson, that's an interesting fight too. You should watch it. But basically what happened was Dan Henderson laid an absolute mauling on Jake Shields in the first round. And then Jake Shields rallies back in the next four rounds and beats him unanimously. And then after the fight, Jake Shields is doing his press conference, his little interview. And then out of nowhere, Jason Mayhem Miller comes out and he starts screaming that he wants to fight next. And then a whole brawl breaks loose because Nick and Nate Diaz start beating the crap out of everybody and Jason Miller. And at this time, they weren't even, at least Nate Diaz wasn't even part of the Strikeforce organization. So it was him and his brother who was part of it, but it was them that were playing the part, and I don't think that they've had ratings that good ever since that happened.
So you're saying this is a great way to boost up ratings then?
This is a promotional thing, because the UFC is a very interesting organization where you have, it's the medley between sport and entertainment.
Okay.
And it's like a real medley.
It's definitely becoming
it kind of blurs the line a lot of the times.
And so are you saying that you think this was scripted then? Is that what you're implying?
No, I'm not saying that it's scripted.
Oh, okay.
But I'm saying that the sport and the organizations benefit from this. I'm sure there should be some penalties. I wouldn't say that there should be like a blanket penalty that isn't adjusted for whatever organization and whatnot. But there needs to be some type of punitive measure to prevent it from happening, but or not prevent it, but from dissuade it from happening. But I don't see anybody really losing on this other than Redmond, who was going to lose anyways.
All right. Now, before we wrap things up for the day, because we're at our limit here, is there anything else that you want to cover? And I may have one other thing I just want to get your take on. But is there any other thing that you want to cover before we wrap up the day's show?
Other than me being pretty excited for that UFC 219 card, since they're doing a really good job of solidifying the supporting cast for it, with some really big fights like Khabib versus Edson Barboza, Jimmy Rivera now stepping in place and fighting John Lineker, who is subbing in for Dominic Cruz. You got Cynthia Calvillo versus Carla Esparza, and a whole lot of other fights that we'll probably be talking about pretty soon here. So I'm really excited for that.
What I'm excited about is, and I'm not necessarily excited, but I'm looking forward to seeing what happens is the John Jones doping allegations. It comes to a head this next week, right?
Well, actually, that was another thing is that's actually been pushed back to February.
Oh, that's right. It was pushed back to February. That's right. You know what? I'm starting to think that John Jones is not going to get a 4-year ban. I told you about this. I saw a thing where they tested a bunch of the GNC supplements, and there was 42 supplements that had that steroid in there. And that was just for GNC. There was like 42 supplements, and only 10 were banned by USADA. So there was 32 items that you could have bought at GNC that you thought would have been safe going by USADA that you would have had, that you would have gotten that product. What's your thoughts on that?
That's not fair to me, but what's also not fair is fighters getting multiple offenses for drug allegations and performance enhancing allegations. So it's tough.
And it comes right back to, once again, that I think the UFC should come up with their own line of supplements that are UFC branded supplements that fighters get directly from the UFC that has been tested and proven to be clean, so that, you know, here's your protein, here's your creatine, here's your B12, here's everything you need to be a fighter. You take this stuff, everybody's on the same line, you know. But if you go outside of the UFC branded materials, you are on your own. What do you agree that that's probably the best solution?
I totally agree. I mean, they already cover medical costs. Why don't they just deal with any potential doping and whatnot with that? And if they do find that they dope, then there's no one to blame other than the fighter themselves.
Right.
And this is kind of like a foolproof idea.
Then you just get let's look at creatine, because creatine is one of those supplements that a lot of things sometimes end up in. But if you had a UFC branded creatine that's been tested before it's shipped out to the fighters, it's tested and then shipped to all the UFC fighters, the protein powder, it's been tested and shipped to all the fighters. So everyone gets all their supplements. And then if you take anything outside of that, then it's at your own risk. Then no one could get busted for something. You know, they all know what they can take. I think that's the safest way to solve this problem. And I don't think, you know, you could actually get a sponsorship deal where, you know, one of the supplement companies would be happy to be the official, you know, supplement of the UFC and they would be able to test it and send it out. It wouldn't even cost you. I don't think it would cost the UFC any money at all. I think they'd make money off of it.
Yeah, I mean, it does save them a lot of time with having to deal with finding out who is taking what and whatnot. I mean, if you're all taking the same things, which is kind of how it should be theoretically, if it's an equal playing field, then you should have nothing to worry about as a fighter. You should welcome it, and you should just let the skills do the talking because you've already done the work on your end.
Yeah, so everybody is on the same playing field. There's no chance of it's like, oops, I accidentally took the wrong thing. No, we're all taking the same stuff. Did you take the stuff from your shipment from the UFC? No, I took this other stuff from Vitamin Shop. Well, you're tough. Too late. Too bad. You didn't take a UFC branded product. You are on your own. Then I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I agree with you.
All right, Will. With that one, we're wrapping things up. That's our final take for the night. Once again, I'm Tate, and my good friend Will over in Stockton. Thank you for joining me again, Will. And we'll be working on what kind of bet we're gonna have for that Cyborg Holly Holm fight. And for everyone who listened, to all, have a good night.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts MMA podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.